Praise God. But it is good to be able to come and be with God's people.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God. A couple of just quick announcements. If you if you're wanting to go to Fayetteville and you haven't told me, please let me know this evening so I can call them this weekend and let them know how many people will be coming. And so they can prepare for that, for Brother Messer's prophecy conference. And I believe it'll be a good conference. And I believe we are in the last days.
Yes.
And I believe we need to know what's going on in the last days. Praise God. I think we need to look at a biblical view, not a carnal view or worldly view. I think we need to know what's going on in our world in the sense of, as we see these things taking place, it's the signs of the end times. And as these countries are battling and different things are going on, I believe there's got to be a lot of things take place. A lot of things have to fall together like a puzzle. And the Lord's going to work those things out for things to come together. And when the trumpet sounds and the tribulation takes place and the Antichrist comes on the scene, everything's going to go together like a puzzle. And it's good to be able to know when you see signs and just different events taking place that God has told us about in His Word. It's good to be able to see these things and know that our Redeemer draws nigh. Praise God. And I believe it's soon to come. Amen. Just even with just the increase of sin. The Bible said that would take place in the last days. So when we see these things, iniquity abounding, and love of many waxing cold, we know that's a sign also. And that's happening, church. That is happening everywhere we turn. The church is waxing cold. Christians are losing their faith in God, losing the hope in God, and turning the other way. And iniquity is on the increase. It's running like wildfire. And that is the signs of the last days. I want to share from the Word of God this evening in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. If you'd stand, please. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, I want to read this familiar passage. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That last verse, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Let's just pray again and ask the Lord to help us this evening. Father, we come to You, Lord. Just as we share Your Word, I pray, God, that You would just be with us this evening, Lord. I pray, God, that You would just touch us, Lord, and help us, oh God, as we study Your Word this evening. God, help us to rightly apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to grow in You, Lord Jesus. I pray, God, there'd not be any hindrances here, Lord, but there'd be liberty, oh God, to share Your Word, Lord. And I pray, Father, that You just help us, Lord. Help us to rightly divide it. Help us, God, to preach the Word with authority and anointing, Lord. I ask You, Jesus, God, it would go forth and it would touch hearts and souls, I pray, God. But we need You today, Lord. We need Your touch, oh God. Oh, God, how we need You, Lord Jesus, today, Lord. How we need You today, Lord. More than ever, oh God, we need You today, Lord Jesus. Oh, God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated if you like. Yesterday afternoon, evening, someone came to the house and just was sharing a little bit and just wanted to come and stop in and just pay a visit. After my mother had passed away, I hadn't been able to do that, and they wanted to stop in and just tell us that they was thinking about us, left us a card. But anyhow, we got to talking a little bit, and she had just mentioned about a conversation she had about, you know, that person's personal life has had some sicknesses and some difficulties and things. And people kind of look at her and think, well, you're a Christian. Why are you having difficulties, physical and just things in life in general? Why are you having problems? Why do you have problems? And somebody being a sinner kind of looks at that and says, well, why doesn't God take care of you? Why doesn't, you know, if God loves you so much and you know, if God's supposed to take care of you so much, why do you go through some sicknesses? Why do you have some problems and things like that? And people look at that and think, well, if you're a child of God, why are you having these problems? Doesn't God care about you? Doesn't God love you like you claim? And if God really loved you, you wouldn't be having problems like that. And that's the mindset of lost sinners. They look at that and they think, well, if you're a Christian, if God really loves you, you won't be going through any difficulties. You won't have any sicknesses and things like that. And a lot of people may go through life and not have a lot of major problems in life. But I believe by the time you get to the end of the road, everybody can say that they've had some difficult times in life. They've had some problems. They had some rough edges along the way, some rough roads that they had to travel along the way. And in everyone's life, some have rainy days. It's not always sunshine. It's not always this perfect weather in life. And maybe some lives have, people have more rainy days than others. Maybe some do go through more difficult situations in life than others. Some may have more sickness and more physical problems than others. Some may have more family problems than others. And everybody has a different amount of problems they go through. But I can say that everybody has some problems. Excuse me. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're not, you're going to have some problems. You're going to have some difficulties. But just because you have that doesn't mean that we do not have hope. That doesn't mean that God does not love us and that God does not take care of us. Just the contrary to that, God does take care of us and God does love us and God does look out for us. But a lot of people think that because we're Christians, that you should not have any difficulties, you should not have any problems. But what we have here in this gospel message of hope is it's a message of help. This is a message of help, that God will help His children, that God will provide for His children. As I read there in verse 15, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That we may find help, church, in the time of need. Now, I know in our church we've had some difficulties. It seems like we've had quite a bit of sicknesses that's been plaguing our church and different viruses. And it just seems like we never can find the end of the rope in that. And it just seems like it just kind of bounces around and things. We've had some other problems and different things that our church has faced. We have people right now who are suffering physically and are going through some difficult times. But God is a God of help, and He will help us. I know when we took care of my mother, it was some very trying times physically, taking care of her. Some exhausting times because of having to get up a lot during the night and not really getting a good night's sleep. The time you got her up and took care of her, and you know, she could lay right back down and go back to sleep. But you know, you're kind of already awake, you know, after physically moving her around and stuff. And it's not just always you just instantly go back to sleep. Sometimes you got to wind back down again and things. So a lot of times it would be anywhere from one to four times during the night But God helped us. God gave us grace. There was some nights we didn't have to get up any. And I believe God helped us. And just showed mercy to us in that. And gave us that time of rest that we needed. But we had some difficult times. Some pressure was put upon us and upon our family. But God came and He helped us. He saw us through it, church. And what we need to look at is what takes place is the damage that sin has done to our world. The damage that sin has done to our world. And a lot of people go through struggles and difficult times. And it's not because they have committed sins themselves. But sin has done damage to this world, church. Sin has done damage to our human race. And we have problems. We have struggles that we face. I want you to take your Bibles. I want to be turning to quite a bit of Scripture this evening. And if you'd like to follow along, you'll go to John chapter 9 with me. John chapter 9. We can't say that every problem that we face, church, is because of sin. It's not that way. The Scripture tells us different. You'll notice in John chapter 9, verse 1, the Bible tells us, as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, "Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Now notice here, Jesus very plainly tells us that it's not because of a man's sin, it's not because of his parents' sin or anything, that this man is born blind. But I can say that tonight, it's not because of sin that we have sicknesses all the time. It's not because of sin necessarily, or that we have sin. Let me put it that way. It's not necessarily because we have sin, because we have a virus, or we have a sickness, or somebody may have cancer, or whatever the situation they may be going through. It's not necessarily because they have sin because that they have that. But I can say tonight, it's because of sin that we have sicknesses, that we have things and that. If we didn't have sin, church, in this world, we would be in perfect health. The world, the world itself, the earth, would be in perfect condition. We wouldn't have any diseases. We wouldn't have any viruses that float around it. We wouldn't have any kind of sexual sin or sexual diseases and things like that if it wasn't because of sin. But because we get sick does not mean it's because we have sins. But we can say that because of sin, we have these different sicknesses and we have these different problems that we go through. It's because of sin. Why do we have war and all these things? It's not because we have sin personally, but it is because of sin. It's because of pride. It's because of power that we want. And things like this. And people want these things. And it's sin that has brought these things upon the earth. The earth has been cursed. God said that to Adam and Eve right in the beginning when they sinned. The earth is cursed. It's going to bring forth now thorns and thistles and weeds and things. And it's because of sin, church. But because our garden is full of weeds doesn't mean we have sin personally. I understand what I'm saying. But we still have difficulties, church. We still have sicknesses. We still have problems that we'll face. And as we grow older, church, it seems like we may even have more problems in our personal lives. Our bodies are not getting any younger. And, you know, things start to go. And our hearing, our memory, our everything starts, you know, just seems like it's falling down, falling apart as our bodies get older. And we have aches and pains and different things. But here I want to share with you tonight is that God is a God of grace. And in difficult times and difficult situations, He will help us, church. He will see us through. And it's not because that we have sin that we have these things. But it is because that there is sin in this world. Notice in John chapter 11, if you'll turn there. We find here even Jesus at the time of death of Lazarus. John chapter 11, verse 33. Notice here that the Bible tells us that when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. We find in the Scriptures here a place that the Bible tells us that Jesus wept. Here we find that Jesus acknowledged all the sufferings and things that people were facing and things that they was going through. And I believe that Jesus has saw this and what sin has done to us, in the sense that there is death here now. We have death, and people face down times, hard times in our lives. And Jesus wept over this. Jesus wept. And here we find that even though we are Christians, we are going to face some things. And there's going to be times that we're just going to cry and we're going to just pour our hearts out to God and ask God, "We need you, Lord. We need your help. We need you to see us through this." And God will come and He will help us, church. He will come and He will help us. The world which we live right now, I believe it's groaning and labor and pain because of the burden of sin and things that this earth is facing. I believe a lot of the natural disasters that we have and things of this nature, I believe a lot of them are results of sin and the things that's going on in this earth. And it's a time that the earth is just groaning and wanting to have redemption, wanting to have deliverance. The Bible talks about this over Romans chapter 8, verse 20. Romans chapter 8, verse 20 through 22, the Bible deals with this and says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject in the same hope." Notice verse 21. "Because the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travails in pain together until now." The Bible talks about this. It's about sin and what sin has done to this earth itself. And how, if I can put it this way, the earth is just rocking back and forth. It's travailing. It's shaking because of sin and things. God did not create this world. God did not create this body to participate in sin. And when we take that road, it is going against the grain. It's going against what our bodies and what this world was designed for. We know it happens all the time. You know, when we take something, a piece of equipment or a tool or something, you know, you take a screwdriver and you try to use it for it as a chisel. It's not made for that. It's going to damage it. Something's going to happen. And that's what takes place with our bodies in this world when we try to use it in a manner that it wasn't created for. This body wasn't created to puff smoke. God did not design it for smoke to go through its lungs and to be blown out. And it brings destruction. It brings destruction. And this world of sin, it says, as Paul writes and tells us, that the world itself is groaneth and travaileth in pain together unto now. That's what the creation of this world is doing. That's what this earth is doing right now. It travaileth in pain because of sin. But again, we serve a God as a God of health. We're right in the middle of that, church. We're right in the middle of that. We have the sicknesses. We have the disease. We have the problem. We have death. We have this earth and the natural disasters. We have all these things that's going on. And we're right in the middle of it. Look at Japan and what they faced. How many thousand it was that got killed there? Just a little bit. I don't even remember the number. It was such a high number. We haven't seen things like that here in America lately. But notice here, I believe it's because of sin. It's because of sin. And we're right in the middle of that. And those things affect us, church. If we used to have that happen in the Atlantic and come across the Eastern North Carolina church, it would affect us. It would affect us. Not because we have sinned. Not because we have naturally done something wrong to displease God, but because of sin itself. And the earth is groaning and travailing. When we serve a God, it helps us.
Right.
A lot of times, you know, we would like to just snap our fingers. A lot of times we like just to get out of the problems, just to be able to blink and be gone. But that's not the way God works, church. We have the problems and we pray and we seek God, and it seems like it's a long time for the problems to go away, or it seems like it's a long time for the sickness. It seems like a lot of times, church, we get through one problem, we're right back in another one. And a lot of times, you know, we just want to snap the fingers and be able just to put the world right back into the way God created it, the way God intended it for it to be. But that day is going to come, but right now it's not here, church. And we're going to have to walk this road. We're going to have to keep traveling this road, church. We find that God, though, has taken care of the situation. He has made a way, church. The Bible and throughout Scripture tells about this. In Romans chapter 5, notice in verse 6, the Bible says, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died for the ungodly. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. Christ has chosen a way to take care of the problems, and it's the cross. Now again, he's not saying that he is going to take us out of the problems, but he has made a way to see us through the problem. And it is the cross, church. The Bible tells us here that when we were yet without strength, when we had no ability, no powers on our own, in due time, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. This earth, because of sin, is groaning and travailing. We have just what the things that sin has caused. But Christ has come and says, this is the way I will take care of this problem. It is the cross.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Now, He could have. He's God. He could have said, okay, I'm going to snap my fingers and I'm going to put it right back the way it was when I created it. But He in His wisdom chose not to do that. But He chose to do this in a way of the cross. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, then it will make things right again.
Hallelujah.
Christ, in due time, died for the ungodly. And Paul would say, scarcely for a righteous man, maybe for a righteous man, one would die. For peradventure, maybe for a good man, someone even dared to die. But God commanded His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ did not come and die for a righteous person. Christ did not come and die for a godly person. He came and died for a sinner, the Scripture tells us.
Amen.
For a sinner. He tells right now, for God commanded His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
That we can be righteous.
Yes.
That we can be godly, church.
Amen.
And this is the road that Christ has, if I can put it this way, in this simple language, that Christ has chosen, the God of Trinity has chosen to take, it's through the cross. And that while man was yet sinners, Christ died for us. That we could be righteous. But then again, on the flip side, this is Christ's way. But if man chooses not to take this road, then he forfeits the benefits of the cross. If a man refuses to take the road that Christ wants, or that Christ has chosen the way of the cross, if a man refuses to take that road in all God's wisdom, then he forfeits the benefits of the cross.
Amen.
There is benefits of the cross, church.
Amen.
It's come to make us righteous. It's come to make us godly, church. It's come to make us heirs and joint heirs with Christ. All this is done through the cross. But when man refuses to take that road, he forfeits those benefits, church. You can't be godly. You can't be righteous if you're not going to take the path of the cross. If you're not going to take Jesus Christ's plan that He has given to us, you cannot be this, church. A lot of people want to. A lot of people want to say, I don't want this road, but I want the benefits of it. And it will not work that way, church.
Right.
You must take the road that Christ has prepared for us.
Right.
And we must take His solution. And it's the cross.
Hallelujah.
And it's His way, church. And it will not happen any other way.
Yes.
A lot of people want to say, well, I'm going to charge God. I'm going to accuse God. I'm going to point my finger at God and say, God, why aren't You helping us? Why are we facing these things? Why are we going through these things? A lot of people might say, God, You're not there. You're not come to help us. But God has come to help us.
Yes.
And it's the cross.
Right.
He's made a way for us. Notice in John chapter 11. Go over with me in John chapter 11. Notice verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. Now that's kind of the same statement I made at the beginning of the message when that man said, if God loves you, why are you going through this? Why are you facing this? You're a child of God. Why are you in pain? And Martha kind of makes the same statement. It said, Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother would not died. He would not have died. If You would have been here, if You would have took time to come here, we would not be in this situation. Don't You care about what we are going through? A lot of people feel that way, church. Go down to verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was, and saw Him, she fell down at His feet, saying to Him, Lord, if Thou hast been here, my brother had not died. So it wasn't just Martha making the same statement, church. Mary's doing the same thing.
Yes.
If You would have been here, Lord, my brother would still be alive.
Yes.
If You would have cared about us, we wouldn't be in this pain. That's what a lot of people are thinking. Notice there, down in verse 37. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Now we've got the crowd, the world pointing at them and saying, look what they're going through. These are the same people who will sit at Jesus' feet. These are the same people who love Jesus. And here Jesus has let their brother die. That's what the world's thinking. That's what the world's looking at. It says right there, verse 37. Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? That's what the world's looking at here at the church. God's so good to you, and you testify how God's good to you. What are you sick for? Why are you hurting? Why are you facing these problems? That's what the world's looking at. So now they've got the crowd coming in looking at them. We got the world looking at us and saying, you know, why are we going through problems? Why isn't everything a bed of roses if God's so good? All of you, I've heard all of you testify how good God is.
Right.
A lot of you probably done it while you had some kind of pain in your body.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
I've been through some sicknesses, some battles, and you testify God's good. Well, how is God good? Why did you go? If God was good, why did you go through these problems for? That's what the world's looking at. You guys don't even make sense. You're saying how good God is, but you've got pain in your body. If God's so good to you, why you got this problem? God's good to us, church. Amen. We're going to go on and see how good God is to us. Go over in Exodus. Oh, Moses had some problems like that too. Notice in Exodus chapter 5. Verse 22. Exodus 5, verse 22. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast Thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it Thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in Thy name, he has done evil to this people, neither hast Thou delivered Thy people at all. Now, you know the story. This is the time when Moses is going to go before Pharaoh and he says, he's going to tell, let my people go. And Pharaoh, I believe he probably kind of puffs his chest out and says, What are you talking about? Letting these people go so they can worship. They got too much time on their hands. They got time to go out there and they can worship God. They got too much time on them. Take the straw away from them or don't provide the straw for them. Let them gather their own straw to make the bricks. These people got too much time on their hands. So what has happened is what it seems like. What Moses has gone and done has backfired on him, and God has made it worse for the children of Israel. And Moses is now, he goes before God after Pharaoh's done made this statement to him and says, you know, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil treated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? And for since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he has done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. Notice the boldness of Moses, church. Notice in verse 22. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated his people? Now that's boldness to say that to God, to me. To go before God and say, God, how could you have done this to us?
Come on.
That's what Moses is saying, church. How could you have done this to us?
Yeah.
You sent me here to deliver your people, and I go before Pharaoh to do it, and he's made it worse on them. How could you do this to us? And I imagine Pharaoh is probably where his pride is really getting big here. The man of God goes before him, and he's going to show how big he is, how big Pharaoh and his power is, and he says, I'm making it worse on your people. I'll show you who's boss. And we know the situation with Pharaoh as he just kept getting worse and worse. His heart it got harder and harder and kept refusing God. And I believe this was the beginning of it right here, where he was able to show a little power against God's people and make it worse for him, worse for them. But the boldness of Moses. You say, how could Moses do that? How could Moses do that? How many times have we questioned God, church?
Come on.
We may not have said, God, how could you let this happen to me? A lot of times we question God, church.
Boy.
We ask Him, why is it, why? This ain't right, God. And the whole time, with Moses' situation, with Mary and Martha's situation, God has got it under control, church. He had it. Lazarus is dead, but God still had it under control. Christ still had it under control. With Moses and Pharaoh, God still had control. You say Pharaoh's got the one that's got the power now. No, God's still in control. But a lot of times we want it done this way. Moses thought he could just go right in and say, Pharaoh, let God's people go. And that was going to be the end of the story. We're going home. But that's not always the way God works. If I can put it this way, to us sometimes, it seems like God don't always take what we may think the easy roads. What seems like the easiest path to travel, church. God doesn't always work that way. And I believe that's what God was doing with Moses here and the children of Israel, Mary and Martha. God wanted them to put their trust in Him.
Right.
Depend on Him.
Yes.
Martha, yes, Lazarus is dead, but I'm still in control.
Right.
I'm not late. I haven't arrived late. And we sit in the sick bed a lot of times and we think, God, I've been sick for days. This problem's been here for days. And we think God's late. But He's not late, church. He hasn't forsaken us. He's just wanting to build our trust and our faith and our hope in Him, church. And that takes time sometimes, church. It takes time. God doesn't always take the easy road, church. You say, why don't He? Why don't He? Who do we ask? I'm telling you, He's God.
Yes.
He speaks the Word and creates the heavens and the earth.
Right.
And we want to question Him how He does things. Help us, church.
Right.
Praise God. Amen. Generally, you know, we want the problem removed immediately. Moses wanted to go right in there and say, it's done. Didn't work that way. And that's a lot of times the way we want it, church. And we have to be careful, church, that we don't point our finger at God. Ask God, you know, this ain't right. Lord, this ain't right. This ain't right. When God's in control. Amen. Still with me? Praise God. All right. What God has done, though, is He wants to help us. He hasn't forsaken us. He still is going to care for us. He's still watching over us in these times of battle. It wasn't that Christ wanted to see Mary and Martha weeping at that grave and found pleasure in that. No. It wasn't that God looked down on the children of Israel and saw them have to work harder now and found pleasure in that. No. That's not our God's. But a lot of times that's what it takes for us to learn the lesson. It's for some hard times. Some of those times of being in the trenches, church. And some of those struggles. It's for us to learn the lesson. It's not for God to have to learn the lesson. He knows what He's doing, but sometimes we have to take the hard road to learn the lesson, church. But God cares about us and He wants to help us, church. And let me give you some scriptures. Let's look at some scriptures to go along with that. 1 Peter. Let's follow along if you have your Bibles. 1 Peter. Chapter 5. Verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. You there? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Humble yourselves therefore before the under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now what do you say? What's that got to do with anything? I'm telling you, it's not very humble when you point your finger back at God and say, God, you messed up. We shouldn't be going through this problem. That's not humility. When you ask God, say, God, why is this happening? That's not humility. That's not being humble before God. Verse 6 says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. He didn't say it's going to be right then. But in due time. At the right time, church. Knows the rest of it. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Notice that. What Paul is saying here in this passage. He's telling us here that the world is going through the same things. They have the sickness. They have the death. They have problems. They're going through the same thing. But what God says here is, but, verse 10, the God of all grace, who has called us unto the eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, after you have been down that rough road for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settles you. That's the road it takes, church, for that to happen. He tells us here, after you have suffered a while, after you have suffered a while, makes you perfect, establishes you, strengthens you, and settles you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. God is there to help you, church. And you say, well, why can't God just take it away? Why do we even have to face these things? It's because of these battles, church, that we are made perfect, He tells us. It's because of these battles that we are made strong, He tells us, right there in that verse. That you can be established and that you can be strengthened. That you can be settled. That you can be solid, rooted.
Right.
Not tossed to and fro, not wishy-washy.
Amen.
But it takes the valleys for that to happen, church. It's that God cares for you and He wants you to be strong, and that's the road it takes for us to be strong.
Right.
Amen. Notice Psalms. Go over to the book, Old Testament, Psalms 118, verse 5. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? Notice there in that passage, verse 5. The psalmist writes and says, I called upon the Lord in distress. He was in a, if I could put it as something, a predicament. He was in a situation. He was in a distressful situation, church. You've been there. You've been in stressful situations. I told you when we first brought our mom in and stuff, and trying to make a lot of adjustments and stuff, and our family and things, there was some stress there. Right. I'd be lying to you if I said and didn't say there was some stress there. But I look back at it now and say, it was a pleasure and a joy to be able to help my mother. Right. But I have to say, there were some stressful times. It was. But the psalmist says, during no stress, during that time, I called upon the Lord in distress, and the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Now, what's he talking about, set me in a large place? You know, a lot of times when we're in distress, church, it feels like we're just boxed in. We're just, there's pressure everywhere, all around us. And we just feel like we're stressed, and it just seems like everything just kind of is not going right, and we're just, We're pressured in. Hemmed in, thank you. Like a pressure cooker. It just seems like it's just, you know, a pressure cooker, the more it's under that fire, over that fire, the more pressure it builds up. And that's what we just feel like, you know. We just feel like we can just burst. But the Bible says, the psalmist says that when I was in that situation, the Lord answered me and set me in a large place. He's not stressed in no more. He's not hemmed in no more. The pressure has been relieved. The Lord did that, church. He didn't say, the Lord took away my problem. He said, the Lord has given me relief, if I can put it that way. The problem's still there, but I got victory over it now. I got peace over it. I don't feel the pressure of the enemy no more coming in. And he says that he has sent me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I'm telling you, church, that is something you can never forget. Don't ever let the devil doubt you. Bring doubt that God is not on your side. He is on your side. The psalmist says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? We do not have the spirit of fear, church. Amen?
That's right.
That's not of God.
No.
You may have it, but it's not of God. Let me put it that way. It has not come from God. Fear is not from God, church.
No.
That pressure is from the enemy. And the Lord will relieve that pressure. And He'll help you, church. He'll help you, church.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, back to the New Testament. I'm hurrying along. You still with me? Okay.
Amen.
All right. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Praise God. Amen. I got to hurry. Praise God. Which of you, verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubic unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Notice what he says there. The lilies of the field Verse 29 tells us that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these was. Wherefore, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Notice there. Christ is trying to tell us in that message, that sermon. He's trying to tell us, God takes care of the lilies. God clothes the fields. How much more are you better than they are? God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Then you say, why do I go through these problems? I'm telling you, God is taking care of you. He's taking care of you. It's His wisdom that we have this road we're traveling. Praise God. Chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and you shall be given. You seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? We are His children, church. Our earthly parents, will provide for us. They'll do the best they can for us. But they can only go so far.
Right.
And Jesus is saying, my Heavenly Father will take care of you better than that. He will provide for you, church. We don't have that fear, church. Chapter 10. Chapter 10, still in Matthew. Verse 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not therefore. Ye are more valued than many sparrows. Notice that, church. We quote that all the time. We kind of talk about that. You know, people going bald, you know, a number, so-and-so hair fell on the ground, and God knows what hair fell on the ground. God knows how many have left. He knows how many had, if another one grows back. He knows these things. But we don't really put that into practice, church. A lot of times we quote those things, but we let fear grip us.
Yeah.
And God knows us so much. He knows every hair is on our body, every on our head. He knows them, church. And He takes care of us. And He says, our Heavenly Father will provide for us, is what He is telling His church. You do not need to fear. Tells us that. Praise God. Amen. I'm enjoying that scripture. I don't know if maybe you're not enjoying them. That's some good scriptures to me. Praise God. My Heavenly Father cares about me.
He does. Amen.
And He owns a cattle on a thousand hill, and He's not going to come up short to provide for me, church. Oh, I'm going to have some difficulties, yes. May have some problems. But He's going to be there, church.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to be there.
Yes,
He's going to provide for us, church. Praise God. I hope that encourages you a little bit. I'm telling you, when I was reading some of these verses, I sure did enjoy them. Praise God.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of times we read these passages. I mean, you read that passage about the sparrows. You read that passage about the number of hairs on your head. You read that for years, church.
Right.
But do you really practice that? Do you really believe that? That God takes care of us. We need to have that kind of relationship, church, that it becomes a reality. You know, obviously we can be glad for God's help, you know, but it is in Christ, church, that we find this help. We can't go to the world. We can't go to the world and they be able to provide for us like Christ has provided for us here, as God's Word tells us He provides for us. We can't do that, church. It is Christ that provides for us. And He's brought it through the cross. And through the cross and us receiving salvation and becoming His Son, He provides. He looks out for His children. But we got to really grab a hold of that, church. The Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him. God provides for us, but if we do not choose to serve God and go the way of the cross, we can forfeit these benefits, church. Because He tells us He is searching the earth, looking for those whose heart is loyal to Him. The Bible tells us, I'm going to not take time to read them, or turn to them, but you know the passages in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible tells us, I can do all things through Christ, which has strengthened me.
Yes.
Through Christ, church, we need to realize that the relationship in which God helps us, it needs to become a reality, church. It is through Christ that He does these things. It's through us being obedient to Him. He's looking throughout the earth for those whose heart is loyal to Him. It is through Christ that we are strengthened. The Bible tells us in other places that when we refuse to be obedient to God, God can turn His face on us.
Yes. Amen.
So how can God do that? Well, let's look. Proverbs. You probably know the passage, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Verse 28. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 28. Then shall they call upon me. I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
Notice that, church. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They did not choose Christ and His plan. Go down to verse 33. But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Whoever hearkens unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. In other words, it's not going to be there. Fear of evil will not be there. Because you hearken unto God. But He tells us when we choose not to do that, He says, I will turn my back on you. I'll turn my face from you. As the Scripture tells us there, in Proverbs. We don't like those things, church. A lot of people don't want to get a hold of that. That's not a message that's going to be preached in a lot of Sunday morning pulpits, church. That if you don't serve God, He can turn His back on you. But that's what the Word of God tells us. He says that they'll call upon me, but I will not answer. They'll seek me early, but they shall not find me. Because they hated knowledge. They hated my way. They did not want to take the road of the cross and salvation. They want to try to take it a different way, but when their problems come, I will turn from them. I will not hear them. Go all the way over to chapter 28 of Proverbs, verse 9. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law. I'm telling you, it can get to the place that your prayers is a stench to God.
That's right.
A lot of people are filling a lot of churches on Sunday mornings and praying.
Mm-hmm.
But they do not want to hear God's law.
Right.
They don't want to be obedient to Him. And the proverb tells us, when you get to that place, your prayer is an abomination to God.
Right.
That's God's Word, church.
Amen.
That's not something we've made up. That's God's words. When we, those who are unwilling to accept the gospel, the message of the gospel, they do not want to be a part of this plan, God does not have to hear your prayers. Amen?
Right.
That's why it pays to to take the road of the cross, church.
Amen.
The problems will still be there.
Yeah.
But the help will come.
Right, right.
Amen. Praise God. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. I'm finishing up. Just bear with me a few more verses. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I skip the verse. Verse 8. Behold, your house is left desolate. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. The passage here, Christ is weeping over them. He says, How I would love to gather you in. As a mother hen with her chicks. But you refused to let me. You wanted to take it your way. You wanted to do it your way. And I can't gather you in. When you're coming in, that sense of Him gathering you in, you're coming under His authority, under His rule, under His protection. But it's His way, church. It's under His way.
Yes.
It's under His authority. And Christ is saying, if you want to stand out there on the outside and look in, and you don't want to come and be a part of this, I can't make you do it. He's weeping over them and says, How I would love to do this for you.
Right.
How I'd love to bring you in. But you won't let me. You won't let me. And that's the way, that's the condition of a lot of people, church. They say, oh, let's just forget this road. We're going to make our own way. Christ said, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do that. And I believe He's weeping over millions of people. Religious people.
Yeah.
They're saying, I want to bring you in. I want to bring you under my protection. Under my salvation. But you won't take my path. Your house is left empty because of that, church. God is a God of help, church.
Yes,
one last verse. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse 19. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well doing as unto a faithful Creator. I don't believe I can find another verse to end that with. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God. You're going to suffer. You're going to have problems. This earth is groaning and travailing, church. There's sin everywhere. Sickness and disease. Death. Problems. But those who are suffering according to the will of God commit. Now, you're going to tell me that suffering is the will of God for His children? That's what He's telling us, church. Wherefore, let them that are suffering according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You're going to suffer. You're going to have problems. Keep your faith in Me.
Right.
I am a faithful Creator.
Yes, man.
I will help you.
Yes.
I will help you. Amen. Praise God, praise God. I hope that helped you some today, this evening. We go through some difficulties and some problems. They're going to be there.
Yes, amen.
I got to read one more verse again. We read it already, but let me just go back to it. the verse we opened with. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold on to it, church. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but as in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may attain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hold on to God. Paul's saying, hold on to God. Christ has been there. He's been through it all. He's been tempted in every way just as we have. Now hold on to Him.
Yes.
He is a faithful Creator.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
You stand this evening.
Hallelujah.
We don't need to fear, church.
Right.
You may be in some tough battles.
Yes.
You may face some tough battles. But God is in control.
Yes, he is
in control.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Father, I thank You, Lord, this evening for Your Word, God. The encouragement of Your Word, Lord. I pray, God, that You just help us, Lord, to practice these Scriptures, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that You'd be with us, Lord Jesus. God, I pray, Lord, we'd not let fear get a hold of our hearts, Lord. But I pray, God, that we'd trust in You, Lord. God, that we put our strength and our comfort in You, God. God, but You have not left us nor forsaken us, Lord. But God, You are there with us, Lord. Pray, Father, be with us. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, as we go our separate ways, keep Your hand upon us, Lord.